D News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Today is a very special day for the program because we are paying tribute to a legend here in southeastern Wisconsin, Norm McPhee, who led the Racine Theater Guild with great distinction through some of its most exciting years of growth from 1969 until 2001. And then for some years thereafter, also serving the Theater Guild as a guest director. And of course, Norm McPhee was renowned for the good work that he did at the Guild for all these many years. And on today's program, you're going to be hearing directly from a number of people who worked with him, including Mona Lewis, George Mangold, Michael Klickner, Doug Instanis, and right off the bat, Joe Nissen, who over the course of many, many years has been a very important part of the Racine Theater Guild family, including for many, many years serving on its board of directors. And Joe Nissen happened to be on site, if you will, when Norm McPhee was first hired to be the Guild's managing and artistic director back in 1969. And I'm very grateful to Joe Nissen for making time for a conversation to take us back to 1969 and to offer other reminiscences about Norm McPhee. Joe Nissen, we welcome you to the morning show.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
I should ask right off the bat about the length of your time with the Racine Theater Guild, because it, of course, even predates the coming of Norm McPhee to the Guild. What was your earliest involvement with the Racine Theater Guild?
Well, it would have been in the early 60s, about 61 or 62, and I was hired, not hired, but I was brought in to be a stage manager for Stella Nathan, who was directing several shows at that time. And so I became involved. I had not stage managed before. I wasn't really certain what I was doing. But I did have general knowledge of community theater and became involved. I was interested. I loved community theater and therefore stepped right in when they asked me to do things.
You certainly did, and are still a part of the Theater Guild all these years later. So I assume that by the time then Norm McPhee was hired in 1969, you were had grown into some more official capacity with the Guild. Were you at the time maybe on the board of directors or on the search committee or both or neither?
I was on the board of directors at that time, and we were searching for someone. We realized that we needed a professional to manage. Our audiences had grown, and our company had grown, and it was really necessary to find someone who knew how to manage the growth of this community theater. And so we were about looking. We had had several people who were professionals come in and direct, but no one really had the competency to manage all of us. And so as I was in a cast at that time with a young man who was new in our community, but who had a background in theater. And we were talking one night about the fact that we needed to get someone. And he said, I know someone. this fellow, Norm McPhee, I worked with, he's in California right now. And I could only think, really, he's in California and he would come to Wisconsin? we send out a note to him. And he was interested. He was interested. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So we told him about our theater, that it was small but growing, and that we needed someone with some expertise to both manage the theater and the executive part of it. And we needed someone to direct plays, please. Someone who knew what they were doing. And this man, Norm McPhee, responded. And with him came his wife, who was a scenic designer and painter as well. And so, oh, we thought maybe we really hit, we hit the jackpot, and we got two for the price of one. Well, he was interested, and he did come out, and he was a sweet man, rather short, but with an engaging smile and a twinkle in his eye. And he seemed to know what he was talking about. And he looked at our funny little theater and made some comments right away. Need to put in a light booth at the end of the house so that you could see what was going on. Because what we were doing is the stage manager would use the phone and call down to the light person who was in the basement and say, turn the lights up for this, turn Q22 for that. And that person would do it not knowing what was going on, just hoping for the best. So that was one of the first things Norm did. And then Norm said, you know, you really need to get the community involved. Oh, really? So we did that. He started, they came in and we found a house for them. And they came in and they decided, this is what we will do. We got them involved in Racine and the entire community right away. we got them involved with all of us so that they knew us, would have them over to dinner. And so they became friends as well as managing the theater. And they did it with charm and ease. And Norm's expertise really began to show. He got the theater involved. He knew that we needed more. We were growing, and we had shows that the audience would like so much that at one show, we knew that someone was copying tickets. We didn't have seating arrangements. We just had tickets, and we knew that there were something was going on because we had more audience than we had seats for, and we had a small balcony at that time, and so people were sort of sliding up into the balcony and watching the show. So obviously, we were doing something right. Among the things we decided is that we needed to go on. We're going to have to build a theater. We're going to have to do more. How do you do that? I mean, we were just this funny little group, and most of us had no knowledge, no experience at all on this. And Norm said, you've got to get the community involved. And he made a point of finding people for our board who were of substance, who were of knowledge. And so we ended up with people on our board who were vice presidents of banks, of Modine Manufacturing, and of Johnson's. When we decided that we had to build a theater. we found an architect, a local architect, Ruth Nashinsky. And as Ruth said, well, I build office buildings and I build homes. I design them. But he said, I've never designed a theater. And so we said, okay, now what do we do? and so we decided that he needed to look at theaters and see what goes into building a good theater. So we were able to get one of the local companies, Johnson's, to lend us their plane, and we flew him around to a variety of theaters in the country. And we ended up with this wonderful stage that was a replica, basically, of the Tyrone Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis. But as the architect said, he really didn't know what goes into a theater. And we were thinking, okay, and that's one issue, but the other issue is how do we raise the money for that? Well, among the various things we did, certainly the local manufacturing and businesses were able to contribute funds, but we sold chairs from the house so that people would donate the cost of a chair. So we'd give $250 for one chair, and people did it. They were happy to donate. I don't know how happy they were, but they did donate that. So they bought chairs for the theater. And so today, as you go into our theater, you will see a little brass bands on the arms of our theater with names on it. And these are the people who many years ago donated $250.
Wonderful. Joe Nissen has served the Racine Theater Guild in a number of capacities, including on many occasions as a member of the Board of Directors. She was a member of the Board of Directors in 1969 at the time that Norm McPhee was hired to be the Guild's Managing and Artistic Director. You're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. We are paying tribute to Norm McPhee, who passed away earlier this month. By the way, these interviews can be heard in unabridged fashion in the podcast version of today's morning show. Look for The Morning Show with Greg Berg. And I'm so happy that our tribute to Norm McPhee can include one George Mangold, who over the course of many decades acted under Norm McPhee's direction in a whole host of different productions with the Racine Theater Guild. And George Mangold's history, his artistic legacy with Norm McPhee is probably second to none. So I'm glad that we can talk with him about what Norm McPhee was like as a collaborator and mentor and director over the many years that he so capably served the Racine Theater Guild. George Mangold, we welcome you to The Morning Show.
Thanks very much, Greg.
So tell us, first of all, about your earliest recollection of knowing and meeting and working with Norm McPhee. When was that, and under what circumstances?
I can't remember the exact date, but the first show that he directed I was in, which was Star Spangled Girl, he changed the whole scope of the way we as theater participants were directed. He changed the ball game entirely. We were kind of a ragtag outfit up until then, and he brought a whole new set of rules and regulations and ideas and concepts to the way we were going to operate from then on. And it was really a joyous occasion, and through the years he taught us lots of new things, new ways of doing shows.
So it sounds like he brought a really high level of professionalism that maybe had not been the predominant approach up until then. Now, a lot of times when somebody comes in and is insisting on a higher level of professionalism and adhering to rules and so on, that's not always welcomed. I mean, that is sort of kind of rocking the boat sometimes, or maybe shaking people out of their comfort zones and complacency. But it sounds like at least you, for the most part, welcomed what Norm McPhee had to bring to the Guild.
Well, we did. Like I said, he changed the way we did things, and really for the better. One of his phrases that always sticks in my mind and everybody else's, that when we were not doing things up to snuff, he said, "We're not in Coyote Springs, Wyoming." And so we got the message loud and clear.
Now, when it came to him being a director, and specifically when it came to him working with you as an actor, what are your most vivid recollections about what he was like as a director, and in particular, the kind of gifts that he brought to the task of theatrical direction, besides the insistence on excellence, which you've already talked about?
I think it was the attention to detail, not only in the way the actor learned his lines, said his lines, but the way he saw the entire production, from his direction, from the props to the lighting to the costumes. There was nobody before or since that created the sense of urgency and the sense of perfectionism and the detail that he exuded.
Do you have any idea how many productions you acted in under Norm McPhee's direction over the years? I mean, I'm not asking, actually, not expecting you to have a specific number, but can you give us kind of a rough estimate?
I'll give you a specific.
Oh, great.
27.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Those were only the shows that I was in. I worked backstage on countless shows. That number I can't come up with exactly, but I worked on the sets with him and costuming and props, set painting, just about every aspect of the theater, and many, many shows besides the one I acted in.
Mm. Let me ask you about one thing in particular that can be a real challenge when one is in a theatrical production, and that is when you are criticized. So that is, you know, when a director says to you, George Mangold, or to other actors in the cast, this is not what I want. I need something different. It needs to be this rather than that. What was Norm McPhee's way of going about pulling improvement from you, or getting you to change your approach to a given performance? Do you have certain recollections about that?
I think he had a much more gentle approach than most people would imagine. He would get up and show you sometimes. He wouldn't do line readings. He wanted you to say the words and say them the way you wanted to say them. And I don't think that there was ever any time that he was mean-spirited about it. Always tried to inject a certain sense of humor in the way he directed and the way he wanted you to interpret any particular lines or situations.
I know that your experiences with Norm McPhee extended beyond the physical stage of the Racine Theater Guild, and of course the old theater as well. I suspect you acted under his direction at the High Street Theater, right?
Yes. As I said before, I was in his first production on High Street, and was in quite a few shows there, and then we transferred ultimately to Northwestern Avenue.
Right.
In addition to which, he took, 6 shows overseas, 1 to Japan and 5 to Europe, and I was fortunate enough to be in those 5 productions.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. I can't imagine anything more exciting or intimidating than to take an operation like a theatrical production, complicated enough in its own right, and take it overseas. What are your recollection of that, and in particular of the role that, that Norm McPhee played in making that happen and riding over all of the details that are part of that kind of undertaking?
Well, he never did anything small. The very first production of that we took was, funny thing happened on the way to the Forum, which was 1979, and we had an enormous amount of props and scenery, all of which we schlepped over to first to England, and then ultimately destination was Rotkersberg, Austria, where we finally presented the show for a festival there. And subsequent shows always was the same thing. We had lots and lots of props and set pieces to take with us, and certainly that encompassed a lot of headache sometimes.
And yet, it sounds like he was somebody who was equal to the challenge of making all of that happen. That had to be so thrilling to be part of it.
Well, how he did it, I'll never know. But we got through each one, and each trip had its own particular set of circumstances and problems. But we weathered through them all, and we all have still great memories about them. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, I was just with Jane Matinere the other night, and we were recollecting two of the shows that she and I were connected with, and the laughs never ended, and the memories still flooded back, and it was a good time for us then, and as it was previously.
Mm. What are your recollections of the Theater Guild moving from that old High Street facility to its beautiful current home? What did that feel like, especially for someone like you, who not only such a capable actor, but also something of an artist with a real love of visual beauty? What was that like for you to make that move to this new theater, and what role did Norm McPhee play in making that happen?
Well, we thought we were in heaven when we were on High Street. We did all that we could to that old theater and attracted great audiences. And then when Norm decided that it was time to move on, and we finally did, to create this magnificent theater that we then made home, we couldn't believe ourselves that we were so lucky to land in such a fabulous theater, and the way it functioned and operated. There wasn't a stone unturned to make that theater as wonderful as it became. And it was Norm's vision that created it, and ultimately decided that's where we were going to be. We were under great pressure at the time to take over the Venetian Theater. The Venetian Theater was in peril at that time, and many thought that we should be there instead of out on Northwestern Avenue in unproven grounds. Even though it was city-owned property, we were destined to go there, but many people thought that Venetian Theater was where we were supposed to be. Well, ultimately, it was torn down, and ultimately, it would have been a horrible mistake to have been there. I mean, it was a huge, huge theater, and the rehab of that would have been just astronomical in terms of effort and cost. So where we wound up on Northwestern Avenue was an absolute perfect choice, and nobody ever regretted it thereafter.
That's for sure. What is your recollection of the last time that you acted in a show that Norm McPhee directed?
Well, actually, it was the last show that I did, which was Sunshine Boys. And he wound up being the third replacement of an actor who was, I don't want to say dismissed, but replaced. next by Jerry Rinnell, and then ultimately Jerry had a detached retina, and then Norm had to take over his role. And it was the only time I actually played opposite him. And that had its own set of challenges. He was on book for the first couple of performances, and then from then on, he just sailed through it. He knew, obviously, the words. He knew the blocking, and he had the time of his life.
That what a wonderful memory, and of course, those of us in the audience remember that so very, very vividly. I want to give you a chance for a final thought about your longtime collaborator and friend, Norm McPhee.
Aside from being directed and working closely with him at the theater for all those many years, we were friends socially. Traveled together. I was at his home out in Reedsburg a number of times, and he was a gracious fellow and full of fun, good-hearted humor, and became a really, really good friend outside of the theater. And I miss him terribly. I last time I saw him was at his going away party in Racine, and we all had tears in our eyes, and so did he, but still had a smile on his face, and so did we, just because of all the memories that we shared as a company and as members of the theater and members of the Racine community.
So very well put. George Mangold, I'm so glad you could be part of this tribute to Norm McPhee. Thank you so much for these recollections.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Couldn't be more honored. Thank you.
You're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. We finish out this tribute to the late Norm McPhee by speaking with three more people who knew him well and worked with him extensively: Michael Klickner, Mona Lewis, and Doug Instanis. I asked both Michael and Mona to explain when they first met Norm McPhee and worked with him.
I was teaching school, third grade at Jane's School, with Doug Julius, which is another name from a long time ago with Racine Theater Guild. And he kept saying, you know, what a wonderful place it was to be. And, you know, I was new in town and, you know, socially how I would, you know, meet a lot of people and so forth. And so they needed a go-go dancer for played against Sam, Woody Allen play, and literally I think I had one line, which was kind of like far out, because it was 1972.
Oh yeah. A very groovy play.
Very groovy, and I had the, you know, white go-go boots and the hot pants and all that good stuff. Great experience. Met a lot of people. Had the bug, and I was back again and again and again. In fact, that was a fall play, and that spring I had the lead in Butterflies Are Free, the Goldie Hawn role. So from then on, it was just, you know, love and many years. One thing I'm proud of is that George Mangold and I, and a lot of people that are my current friends after all these decades, we were in a show, No Sex Please, We're British, and it closed the theater on High Street. And back then, because there were only certain plays, you know, certain amount of plays you did, it held over. Well, that was always exciting then, to have a holdover play. And that was the last play at the old theater on High Street. So I just wish I'd taken a picture of it, you know. But, yeah, and then I was in the first group that went abroad to Europe, and we performed in Stockport, England, Vienna, Austria, and Rutgersburg, Austria, with a funny thing happened on the way to the farm. And then after that, there were many, many other trips to Europe, but I wasn't on them, but I was part of that that first one. And then my last play with Norman was Death Trap. And I don't remember when that was, you know, what year, but many, many shows in between, and learned so much from him, yes.
So dozens of productions, certainly, if not hundreds.
Yeah, many, many.
Very good. Michael Klickner, give us a sense of the span of your experience with Norm. When did you first meet him and or work with him, and what would have been roughly the last time?
I also met Norm at the old High Street Theater, which those of us who had the privilege of working in that space hold that dear in their hearts, because it was a great little theater. It was actually a church and a pigeon club, and it was maybe a tenth the size of the theater we're working in right now. But I had a friend, Chris Skews, who was very active in the Racine Theater Guild, and she told me about a play that they were doing called Summer of the 17th Doll, and somebody had to drop out, and they needed to have somebody fill in for the young stud who would come. And so I went and I auditioned for Norm, and I got the role. And Summer of 17th Doll is a play about Australian cane cutters who come every 17 years or every year to visit their girlfriends, and this is the 17th year they come. And not knowing that it is the last year for them and my first year to take over, so, you know, I've come to replace them, and I'm the only one who knows that, really. Mm. But I worked with Norm as an actor in many different productions, and I also was the technical director for the Racine Theater Guild for quite a while, so I worked very closely with him, and I built all those sets that went off to Europe. I never had the privilege of going. Norm would always say, well, next time. But he always said, well, somebody's got to stay behind and take care of the theater. So that ended up being me.
Lucky and, you.
Yeah, lucky me. So when people talk about the European trips, I'm a little bit envious. But I also feel good because I know that Norm felt confident enough in me to leave me behind and make sure that his brand new Northwestern Avenue Theater was in good hands, which was then and still is to this day an amazing space. But like all of us theater people, you know, we always want more. We wish we had more storage, more space, more whatever. But I've known Norm. I've had an association with him on and off for about 48 years. So it was a good long run, and I'm sad to see him go. But I know that he's at peace now. Mm. So.
We are paying tribute to Norm McPhee today on The Morning Show, and we have with us in our studios for this portion of the tribute Doug Instanis, Mona Lewis, and Michael Klickner, who all in various ways worked with Norm McPhee during his time with the Racine Theater Guild. Let's talk for a moment about that old theater on High Street, Mona and Michael. This is something that Doug Instanis knows directly next to nothing about, I'm guessing. This before his time, certainly before my time as well. But I should think that one of the reasons you think of that fondly is that it was not exactly a state-of-the-art space, and it probably required tremendous innovation in order to make it work from the stories that I've heard. And I'm guessing that that's probably one of the things that was probably a great challenge for Norm as the director of, I should think, most of these productions. What is your recollection of Norm McPhee making the best of a challenging situation and managing to create great theater in a not so great building?
Well, the High Street Theater was an extremely intimate space. That's what we theater people like it when the closer to the audience you are, the better. But its stage was raised up in the air about 5-6 feet up above where the audience sat. So, you know, the audience was always looking up to you, and there was maybe 4 feet of wing space on either side, so, and there was no backstage area, so in order to get from one side of the stage to the other, you had to exit stage right, run downstairs, run across the basement, run up to the other side, and then come on that side of the stage.
Wow.
And it was amazing. I mean, but it was extremely fun to do. I mean, we had lots of challenges, and we had lots of perks too, because I mean, there was a bar right next door to it, and on occasion there'd be actors who would go out at intermission or whatever and run next door to the bar. So, which I must say, was not Norm's favorite thing. He frowned on that, let's say. So, But it was just such a nice little intimate space. My family has been connected with the Theater Guild for a long time, and I remember the very first play I ever saw there was my Uncle Raymond was in it, and it was The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, and he played Injun Joe. And he jumped off that stage into the audience and scared me so bad, I wet my pants. So it was just I really have fond memories of it. And I'm really kind of happy to see that the building itself is still there.
Right.
So,
Mona, what are your recollections of Norm McPhee as a director of those early productions in that old theater and the kind of things that he did or had to do in order to just kind of make it all work?
Well, with me being very young, I held him in esteem, and I was probably very frightened of him, you know. And so we just all wanted to please him. That's basically what we wanted to do, just wanted to please him. And so he could be very stern, and you could hear him writing the notes with his pencil, and I can just remember being frightened, you know, because you could hear the pencil
right.
shaking.
Is this about me?
The notes, right? Yes, is this about me? Or
and
whatever.
The lead breaking and moving on.
Yeah,
to the next
yes, and that would be the next part when you heard it breaking. You always had a clipboard, so. But early on, I obviously understood that he wasn't going to settle for anything other than your best, you know, and then he's still going to push you. Which I think is very admirable, because you really look back over the years like Michael and I do, and wow, did we learn a lot, you know, because of that bar that he had of reaching for excellence, you know. And so I have lots of fond memories of that. And like I said, I was very intimidated early on, of course, you know, but... And what about the little sound booth?
Oh
my goodness. What is it, like two people could stand next to each other?
The sound light booth was a closet in the back of the theater.
Yes, yes.
And only two people could stand in there, and which was the sound operator and the lights operator. And Norm would stand outside the booth with the door and right with his clipboard taking notes. And and he was meticulous with his notes. He's the only director I know would take notes for the entire run of a production.
Show.
I mean, every single night, even closing night, he'd be down in the green room giving notes.
Yes. And we have to be honest, we didn't really like that. but that was what he did.
Well,
wow. Yes.
And those of us who were working on crews didn't like his note giving even more, because at the end of every rehearsal, you give notes. Well, he'd do the actors first, and the crew would have to sit there for all of their notes, and then he'd give the crew's notes. But, you know, he did that so that there was a unity, so that the actors and the crew were not separate entities. They were all one and part of a show that would come together and form a cohesive unit. And he really did not let there be a divide between crew and actors.
Hmm. That's great.
It's also great, though, when you've known someone as long as we did, to note that in the recent place when you worked with him, like I did, Death Trap was my last one with him, you begin to see that there were a lot of changes that had happened with him too. I think it's important to note that he, you know, had made changes in his style of directing and note-taking, and would actually let some people go home before others, you know, things he would never do before. But even in the way he approached the directing, I think about another gal that was in Death Trap with us, and it was her first time working with him, and he was really very good with her. Very patient, and also gave her lots to think about in developing your character. So he was still evermore the teacher, you know, which is the way I like to remember him a lot.
Yeah, that's a great quality to have in a director.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, of course, at some point in the mid-70s, if I remember correctly, the move is made to the Theater Guild's current home.
1976.
The
Bicentennial. It was loosely patterned after the Guthrie in Minnesota. And when we went there, when we had finished it, it was ready to go. The opening show was Taming of the Shrew, a Shakespeare play that we did there. And a lot of people were involved in that. And it was sold out the entire time because it was a brand new space, and it was then and still is a beautiful space.
I should think that Norm probably felt like he died and gone to heaven. I mean, to have a space, and
absolutely.
I would assume that at least to a large extent this was built to his specifications. I mean, you didn't just bring somebody in with some generic plan, but this was the theater that he wanted.
Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but for years, he didn't let anybody paint the floor.
Oh my God! When we built that theater, I was working as the maintenance man. I would take care of the maintenance of the building. I was young and I was not knowing what I wanted to do, where I was going to go, and I was also working as sort of the part-time TD. And that was a beautiful hardwood stage floor, and right now there's masonite or plywood or something over the top of it, because we figured out you have to paint it, because the way the angle of the audience is, they see the floor an awful lot in all of our shows. But Norm had this beautiful wood floor, and he would make me high buff wax it every single day.
Wow.
So it was shiny like a mirror, until finally I said to him, I said, you know, Norm, as lighting designers, we hate you. Because you're making all these lights bounce up off the floor and everything. We got to do something about that. So, you know, eventually they did put down some masonite so that we could paint it. And he also made me high buff wax the green room floor every day, you know, as the maintenance
guy. That still needs to be done. So if you're free
later
this afternoon.
What's the pay scale?
We're a volunteer organization. You know that.
The same as when you worked there before.
Yeah. Yeah, same thing he paid you.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. So, in this new home, then, what did it feel like to make theater with Norm McPhee versus in that? I mean, was it jarring? I mean, were you homesick for that old space in the moment, or was this just such an exciting new adventure that for the most part you were able to leave High Street behind?
I think we were able to bring all of our favorite stories from the old theater with us, which we loved to tell and still do, mm-hmm. to the newer group or whatever, like. But no, I at least speaking for myself, I thought it was just amazing to be in this new theater. But it was a different style of acting, you know, because it was a proscenium stage at the way up in the air the old theater. But so there was a lot to learn that way, you know, being on this new stage. But even to today, to step on that stage, I get goosebumps talking about
it. I'm getting
it myself. Yeah, while I'm sitting here, I'm just like, oh. Because it feels like home, first of all, after all these years. But I'm going to use the word magical, and I really mean it. It has always been, and I think will continue to be, a magical experience to be on that stage, and to be directed by Norm, Doug, and guest directors.
Well, for the word magic, you know, Doug Instance, you're well aware that the magic doesn't come easily. It does not come with the waving of a wand. And certainly if somebody is the managing and artistic director, they are especially aware of that it is not just about you go here and say your line this way, but it's also about keeping the lights on and the floors clean and so on. And I should think that one of the things that was valuable for you as the associate director of the Guild was seeing one person dealing with the stage stuff and the offstage stuff and needing to have some skills for both. What do you feel like you learned from Norm over those 8 years that you worked with him?
Well, I think it was vital to... I don't think this is a thing that you just step in off the street without knowing the people and the organization and where the bodies are buried and all of that. And the past history. I think what you learn by watching someone who is 150% dedicated to the theater guild and to his art and to the volunteers is just what's expected of you. And, you know, we all went to theater school and we know how to direct a play. And that's a small part of what we do. The bigger part is being there and being responsible and being the first one in and the last one out and treating the place like it's your home, and every dollar you spend, every, you know, who left that light on? Who left that door open? Who's paying that, you know? And I think that's, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, some people are just gifted actors. Success in this business comes from dedication, hard work, and loyalty. And that's that, you know, I could learn to direct from anybody, you know, from my teachers. But that type of dedication is something you have, you know, you watch and you try to mentor. And so that's what I learned from Norm. I learned what it, if you want this job, if you want to be successful at this job, this is what you have to do. Mm. And I had 8 years to watch that and say, I think I do. I think I want to live this lifestyle, because it was all encompassing for him. It was his whole life. This is what, who he was, and he was proud of it. He was proud of the people. And you drop the paper on the floor, it's like, pick that up. You know, and you know, I could probably point to a lot of technical things that I learned, but I think the most thing was his leadership style and his willingness to do anything it took to make the Theater Guild successful. And that's what I will always remember Norm for. You know, we talk about shows come and go, and I don't know what his best show was or what the most meaningful show was, because they were all important at the time. But it was more about being the first one there, the last one to leave, and really trying to do your best every day. And that's what Norm taught us.
Doug Instinus is the current managing and artistic director of the Racine Theater Guild. Also participating in today's morning show, Joe Nissen, George Mangold, Mona Lewis, and Michael Klickner. I also received several other stories about Norm McPhee. We have time to just share one of them now in the broadcast. We'll share more of them in the podcast version of today's morning show. From Kara Ernst Schalk, Norm has always been my theater father. I did my first real show, Nonsense, when I was a senior in high school at Racine Theater Guild, and I was terrified of Norm, specifically terrified of not living up to his high expectations. I came back a couple of years later to do Peter Pan, and at the same time, we were rehearsing a remount of Nonsense 2 for the holidays. I became sick during the run of the show, and we were scheduled to rehearse in Burlington that night after a full day of performances. Norm came to pick me up, and when I opened the back door of the car, there was a pillow and a blanket. We got in the car, and Norm said, "You sleep on the way out, and you sleep on the way back." He had his eyes on me the entire rehearsal that night. I feel like everyone knows the gruff taskmaster who made the Racine Theater Guild what it is today. I was lucky enough to see the beautiful heart behind the man, the pride for the theater and his family. I've gone on to do theater professionally, and I will forever carry with me the lessons that I learned in my early days at the Racine Theater Guild with Norm, from self-discipline and professionalism in a theater setting to the theater family that developed under his leadership. Thank you for everything, Norm. I would not be the performer, choreographer, director, and teacher that I am today without you. You can hear several other stories like this one, plus unabridged versions of today's interviews, by looking for the podcast version of today's morning show. Look for The Morning Show with Greg Berg. By the way, we are experiencing some technical difficulty in terms of sharing the podcast version of today's program. We will hope to have that podcast available to you in the near future. There'll be no morning show broadcasts tomorrow or Friday because of the holiday, but we will be back on Monday. In the meantime, today, cloudy skies and seasonal temperatures, a high of 43 degrees, overnight low of 26 degrees, partly to mostly cloudy skies for tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, with a high of just 36. This is WGTDHD.